Welcome to Spirit Talk
with Syl and Jay.
I'm Jay.
I'm Syl.
And welcome back to Spirit Talk.
We have some news. We have a little kitty coming. Her name is Stella, and she's a little black cutie.
I'm extremely excited. It's been a while since I've had an animal in my life, and quite honestly, I would rather be around animals than people.
Sometimes. Yeah, so she's going to be joining us next month. Unfortunately, we can't have her just yet. She's too little.
Yeah, she's adorable. And we got a video sent by the owner of her right now, and it's just adorable.
Yeah, I've never had a cat. I mean, besides with my daughter's cat that I absolutely love.
I did when I was about, I think, between the ages of like 11 and 13. And I had an all-black cat. I named him Smokey Joe. And on one foot, he had 11 paws. And on the other one, he had like 13. I mean, they were mitts. And but I was crushed when we came home from a trip one time from my uncle's house and found him in the driveway because he was an indoor cat and he had must have gotten out and didn't survive. So yeah, that crushed me. But yeah, so this is going to be exciting, and I haven't had a kitty since him. So
it's really healing to have an animal, especially if you love animals. But if you're afraid of them, and I used to be afraid of dogs when I was little. And I had a dog, but he was an outside dog, and I was back in Hungary, and he was just, from the puppy on, like, he was just so excited to see me and to see everyone that he was jumpy. So, of course, I was a kid. I was afraid, but all he wanted was love. He just wanted to give love, and he was a bundle of joy, you know. He was a barker, but...
It's always been hard for me, because I love animals tremendously. Animals are naturally attracted to me when I'm around them. And I get close. From my experiences, though, I've never had an animal from the start to the very end because of situations that have come up.
Me neither.
Mm-hmm. And I wanted to make sure that my animals were taken care of. Mm-hmm. And it was hard for me to get attached to them because I've never had the experience of
the
full term. Yeah.
Yeah, and you have to commit. No matter what kind of animal you have or you're getting, just make sure you commit, because it is so sad where you're something's going on and you can't have the animal, whether you're scared or something's happening where I don't know if I could take care of him or whatever. Just get help. There are people out there who are going to help you.
They're just very therapeutic, especially for people with depression and PTSDs and things of that nature. It helps to calm you and to humble you and to experience unconditional love.
Yes, and that is very important. A lot of us don't have enough love in our lives. There's a lot of hate in the world, and I think having an animal is just give you that love, because that's all they want to do is love you, and they just want to get love back.
It's companionship. It's
yep. They don't talk back to you, so that's a plus. Unlike kids, but kids are lovely too. I mean, I have a daughter, so obviously she was just wonderful. So, you know, kids are great too. Pets are just different. That's all it is. It's just, they're just different. But it's important that you just give them love and a home. And the longer you have them, the more they're going to get attached to you. And it's very important. Also, we want to talk about a little bit about spiritual warfare. And
I'll have you take that away. Because these are, we do talk about psychic and mediumship on this. And as well as the subject matter in general. Mm-hmm. This is a lot of stuff that has pushed me or opened the doors for me to go through the spiritual path that I have, because I had to have experienced all these things that I did.
Mm-hmm. And that's what it's like. It's this whole world is all about living to learn from our mistakes, to learn from others, people that have hurt us or we've hurt them. It's all about learning to whatever the learning lesson is. It could be so you don't repeat it or something else.
And that's why I also find it extremely important that I really feel that our purpose here in life is to be the generational curse pattern cycle breaker. to learn as much as you can from your family and the patterns, and not repeat them, especially if they don't agree with you, you know, mm-hmm. and follow your own path, be your own true, authentic self, and not worry about what other people think or care about or whatever, you know. Absolutely. Just do your thing.
Well, the thing is, too, is, well, whoever hurt you, they were going through something. And that you don't know nothing about. And maybe you do, maybe you don't. But you will never know the depth of what they went through. It could be childhood. It could be something that you don't even know because they've never, ever talked about it. So it's important to understand hurt people hurt people. So spiritual warfare, it's actually spirits that are egging you on as far as something's going on. Next thing you know, you have negative thoughts and negative things that you're doing, and there's a reason for it. It's not coming from you, but it's feeding off of your anger, hurt, all those things. And it's important that you realize that. Start thinking about, you know, where's this coming from? Is this from God? Because obviously nothing bad is coming from God. God is going to help you through it. Do you have an example in your life that you can share with us that could help them, you know, open it up a little bit?
Yeah, because God is love. And that's what I've really come to understand, really, literally the past 2 years of my life and since meeting Syl. And I'm coming to realize that if it's something bad or negative, it's not out of love, and that's not from God. That's usually coming from some other kind of source. Low vibrational, whatever. I feel it's dark. And so I feel like a great example, spiritual warfare is like my mind is my worst enemy. And I'm in my head a lot. So a lot of times before, and I'm still going through it to this day, but I learned quite a bit when I took the classes and I needed to. Because I didn't know what was going on with my own life. And it helped me to, especially with the way of my thinking. My thinking I call my demon. And it likes, because of this, the things that have taken place in my life has caused me to think dark and go right to the most negative, you know.
Yeah. You think beyond of what's going on. And next thing you know, you're down a rabbit hole.
Yeah. So even though something could be absolutely good for you, you question it a lot, and you think the worst case scenario.
Yeah. And I think if you start thinking positively, when you start realizing this is a negative thought, you have to pretty much ask yourself, where is this coming from? And why am I thinking this? Is there something to it? Is it something that's actually happening? Or is it my thoughts?
And one of the things I think is great too, and it was pointed out not too long ago, and I really, for myself, can't preach what I don't practice, right? So for me, I really need to start getting into the mind frame of when I start thinking of a negative thought, to try to turn that around and think of like maybe two positive ones to counteract or over-counter the negative yeah. thought. And mm-hmm. I've also heard from a colleague of mine, she's dear to me, her name is Deborah, and she once said, you know, when I'm at a traffic light, that's where she practices working on her breathing. Especially, you know, it helps to calm you down from anxieties and
it's
the stress.
It's like meditating. You're focusing on your breathing, so you're letting go all your thoughts.
Breathing is so critical mm-hmm. and crucial mm-hmm. in the way everything kind of works your mind. It just relaxes you.
It goes
through
with your blood, too, like your heart is pumping, and next thing you know you're breathing heavy and stuff. If you start focusing on breathing in, breathing out, now you're slowing your heart rate, the blood pumping, and it actually is helping you focus on something else other than what's going on. And then you can go back to it later on, say, why was I feeling that way? Psychic 101, right? Well, how did you feel? And, you know, why? What are the things that put you there?
Mm-hmm. Or what lessons coming from this? What do I need to learn?
Exactly. It's crucial. Yeah, and there are a lot of lessons that we don't even know until we really delve deep into it. And then the more you think about it, the more stuff comes up. And then you're like, oh my gosh, you know, that totally will help me in this situation or that. Or maybe something down the road, years and years later, you're going to think back. And that's when you're going to actually start learning, is years later. The more you open up, the more you learn, the more you're going to be on your right path later on. So taking you back to spiritual warfare, when you start thinking negatively, it's most likely it's going to come from a hurt, but also spirits, you know, low vibrational spirits will come in and dig deeper, like, oh, you want to start with that? Okay, well, here's this, here's that. So then you're going to go deeper into depression or anger, whatever the case may be at that time. So you have to think back. You have to stop and actually start thinking back. How did I get here? You know, where did this come from? And then you'll start noticing all the things that were like, wait a minute, you know, this doesn't make sense. It's too dark, too deep, you know. Let me think of a positive thing to say here and to think. And then it's just going to turn it right around.
It's a lot of triggers and traumas to take mm-hmm. place as well. And that distract or get in the way of, you know, who you're supposed to be, because you're clouded by all the darkness and entity. So it's good to live life on life's terms and experience things and start paying attention to your body and how it's feeling and reacting to certain things and people, places.
And this goes back to being open to thinking a certain way. Because there's a lot of stuff out there that we have to learn, like, for instance, past lives. You know, it's important because we're learning from each lives. If we haven't learned something, the lessons are going to come again. And sometimes they're going to come stronger. So you learn it.
For me, for most majority of my life, well, I am now, too, is skeptical. I'm skeptical. And I've learned that skepticism is healthy. And I question a lot of things. I've always questioned. And a lot of that goes back to like triggers and traumas and things that have taken place in your childhood and how you perceive life and the way you saw your parents, you know, and how they treated you and they raised you and things of that nature. So I think a lot of it stems from childhood. And I heard it's crucial and pertinent within the first 4 years of a child's life is where they're going to really learn and adapt to things the quickest.
Absolutely. I think watching your parents too, the way they treat each other. Like I had loving parents. They loved each other. It was a great childhood. Granted, they didn't really play with me or anything. I had my brothers. So I played with my younger brother a lot more than anything else. My parents were just, you know, my mom took care of the house, cooked, clean. My father had his business, and you know, it is what it is. It's just how they grew up back in the day when their parents had farms and they were just not playing with the kids. So that's kind of, it comes around again, and it's just what they think is right. Paying attention to your kids and actually it's crucial. Play with them, talk to them. You know, listen to them. It's not just about talking, but listening. I think it's important because it shapes a child. If they're not going to listen to you, they're going to listen to their little friends and everybody else, the negativity. Nowadays, there's social media.
Yeah, we call that outside influences.
Yep, exactly. You have TVs, you have movies, and they think that's reality. But in reality, you're learning what you see, and you think that is the way of life. So all the negative things that you've learned, it could be the way that you're going to react to things because that's how you learned.
And you're going to find people in your life that way too until you learn your lessons and don't want things to keep mm-hmm. continuing to happen. Because that's why I feel like it all goes back to being a generational curse cycle pattern breaker. Mm-hmm. It's funny, like the experiences and the relationships that you have to go through, the lessons that needed to be learned and everything else to bring you to your person. And I've touched on the subjects before of you know, soulmates and different kinds of things of that nature. But now I'm really starting to get in depth with them and really understand them. And I have truly found my twin flame, and we are a constant mirror for each other. And it's, I used to say, yeah, opposites attract, but I feel like it's more finding somebody that's more like you. You don't want somebody necessarily to be a clone to you, exactly the same, mm-hmm. but somebody pretty close, you know, to having a lot of similarities and things, because otherwise, you know, there's issues. And I find it that not only does opposites attract, but so does similarities. Mm-hmm. And I find that very true within our relationship, because we come from two different backgrounds where your family was together the whole time. Your mom and dad, they loved you very much. They showed you unconditional love. Your dad was a healer. And your mom's just a beautiful soul. So you had a good outline of what unconditional love should be. Mm-hmm. Where mine was more of instilling the fear of God into me. You know, and even though claiming them to be a certain religion showed me otherwise. And that's, you know, so I, for me at an early age, had a lot of things tainted mm-hmm. and kind of taken from me. Even though I am more of like a love warming, I'd rather hug than look at somebody miserable or whatever. It's the way I feel that you're molded by the people, places, and things that are in your life. And I've come to realize, too, that my family members, a lot of them are very toxic for me. And you want to try to find people in today's world that hear you and see you. Mm-hmm. And that can relate.
Mm-hmm. Well, this goes into relationships. What we learn from childhood will take us into relationships. And what we've learned, we're going to attract all those things that can be wrong for us. So, and there's so many things that you can really look back at if you start writing your own story down. It doesn't have to be, you know, published or anything like that. It's for you to reread and to experience, and then you can start seeing patterns and things of the nature, and then you're going to start rethinking, I got to change this because that wasn't good, and why wasn't it good? And you know, it's very important that you rethink all your relationships that have failed too.
Especially this year, after I wrote my book, it was a 7-year project, and until I met my significant other, so she helped me to finish my book within 3 months. And it just touched the surfaces. And the things that you find out afterwards, I was brought up my whole life feeling that something was different with me, something was off, but I couldn't put my finger on it. And then coming to have a conversation with my cousin after my book was wrote and published, that, you know, what I was brought up to believe my whole life, that I was Native American and that we were from this tribe, Blackfoot, and that my great fourth generation, great grandfather, whatever, was the chief of the Blackfoot Indians named White Horse, and that we started from there and then we migrated to where my family resides today. And I did 23andMe because I just, things didn't make sense to me throughout my whole life, and it felt like puzzle pieces missing, and I was very curious and determined to find the truth and to figure things out. I always like to solve puzzles and things of that nature, and to me, pieces were missing, weren't making sense, and sure enough, now I understand. I'm not upset with my, I'm upset with my mother. I'm not angry with her. Or the H word. I don't like using the word H-A-T-E. You know, I don't like that. Exactly. So I'm upset with my mom, but I understand why. Mm-hmm. And it makes a lot of sense. And I'm grateful now because I was able to, it's a piece that I needed to be put in place.
And you needed to learn from that.
And I understand, and now I understand even more so the things that I came across through in my life and had the choices. I made the right one because I didn't want to be the same pattern as my ancestors.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's where you learned a lot from, whether it's how you got the information, how that played about, why. Got to dig deep in that one. And then you're going to learn so much. But it's all about understanding and letting go of the hurt and the anger and the hate. If you have hate in your heart, you know, it's just going to make it worse.
You know, I read it somewhere, and I don't remember, so I can't help you folks. I heard or read it somewhere that when you turn 40, you become wiser. And I find that for me to be true. I had to get what I had to for myself out of my system when I was younger so I can be able to have experienced that to be able to help people out today to kind of guide them in direction, like you don't want to go that way or whatever, to be able to guide them for them. And I'm grateful that I had the experiences. They were, some of them were scary. But for me, I had to go through them for myself to be able to help people out, to guide them,
yeah,
hopefully in a better direction.
Well, we all regret things in our lives. That's natural. But those regret, look into that and say, okay, why do I regret that? There's a lesson there. Look into that.
It also brings up a point, too, that being an empath, you want to be the hero and you want to save things and you want to prevent things from happening and things of that nature. And it used to frustrate me when I would say to somebody, you know, you don't want to go in that direction because this will happen. And they just like, they don't believe you or whatever. They need to find out for themselves. It took me a while to understand that people have to go through their own lessons and that you can't save everyone. And there's been people too that have come to me for readings, and I had to say to them, I can't be your healer because they keep coming to me for the same thing. Mm-hmm. And no matter how many times you say it and how many times they hear it, it's just, they're going to keep doing what they're going to until they learn their lesson. And they're, unfortunately, it sounds like they're not listening to you or hearing you. So therefore they, you know, I can't help them anymore because they're going to keep continuing.
Yeah. They have to help themselves, but also they might not be ready to open up to that. Mm-hmm. Maybe they're not ready to go through that yet. You know, there's more lessons with it.
A lot of it would help me out through today too is being open-minded and helping me to experience different things and hearing different things, because then I can take what I see or hear and internalize it myself and release what doesn't stick with me and keep what resonates with me.
Mm-hmm. I also want to get into the fact that, you know, we all have things that happen to us, and at that time, you're not going to be able to forgive. It's not that simple. We talk about, oh yeah, you have to look back, and you have to, you know, there is a process, and everybody's process is a different length of time, and sometimes you have to distance yourself from that person, and not necessarily forgive yet, because you don't know how to. So that's a separate issue altogether. Like, how do you forgive? You know, that's not easy. It takes a lifetime to forgive, you know, and you can't forget that either. So there's the forgetfulness where it's like you're never going to forget that, but you have to let go, and you can't until you learn from that.
And that brings up a good point, too, because you're not the same person who you were, you know, a year ago, a week ago, or whatever. You want to change. That's the whole purpose of life. You want to be the change, and hopefully for the better, you know, and not only allow, like, outside distractions to get in the way of too many voices, because I find, like, especially, like, with relationships, you want to try to keep that between the two of you and not outside, because it tends to influence your way of thinking. So I always find certain things, there's certain things you talk about, there's certain things you don't. And it's constantly, life is a learning process, mm-hmm. constantly learning.
Absolutely. Comes back to karma too. Good karma, bad karma. So what you dish out, you will get back.
And right? Karma goes hand in hand with Law of attraction, like attracts like.
Exactly.
So you keep putting out there negative things, you're going to keep getting negative things yep. back. So I, and a perfect example of that, folks, that I can think of, there's been several. I have my days. So before I took classes, I was going through the process of, you know, child support with my children and my first wife. And I remember walking out extremely angry. And I believe this is when I was first starting to take my classes. But anyway, so I was so angry that it even affects, because we're energy, and our energy affects things that are around us. So it affected my radiator, and my radiator blew because I was angry and upset. Mm-hmm. I also found out to believe, you know, I've learned in class different types of meditation. You know, you have your meditation, and then you can incorporate pranayama, which is a breathing technique. And I do that for about 2 minutes before I start my actual meditation. And then if you want to go deeper, then you do mantras. You know, you say a personal mantra inside your mind, like positive in as you're breathing in, and then negative out as you're breathing out. And I try to do it as slow, and I try to hold in the good and release the bad. But just doing a mantra by yourself can affect just a block in your neighborhood. Mm-hmm. Now imagine if you get a bunch of people together doing a mantra, how many people you can affect positively mm-hmm. in that area or that city or whatever. You know, the more people you get together doing positive things, the more that positive energy
absolutely
like disperses and reaches.
Well, think about when you're angry and you're walking in the mall, let's say, because there's a lot of people and you're angry, and the people look at you funny, like, wow, you know, that person's like this way or that way. And if you imagine to be that person that's looking at you, and you're seeing that person, they're seeing an angry person, and, you know, they're going to want to get away from you, you know, because it's the energy. I don't want that energy. But if you have a positivity, you know, people want to be around that. So you're going to attract positivity, and people are going to want to be more positive around you because it rubs off.
I think we should end this program segment today by talking about the movie that we just watched, which was Gandhi, who was played by Ben Kingsley. And mm-hmm. Martin Sheen was in there as well. And I thought that movie was phenomenal and very, very heartwarming, and how Gandhi he wanted peace and nonviolence, mm-hmm. and he was getting tired of being discriminated against and bullied by the Britons, I guess. And
it's all about, you know, anger and the violence and against each other because of the color or race or anything like that. And he was a peacemaker.
Yes, and what I loved about Gandhi was that he wasn't any one particular religion. It was just about love and
acceptance. And let's treat each other equally, because we're children of God. Yes. He kept saying that. We're all children of God. There's room for everyone.
So I thought that was a brilliant movie. I love movies like that. Very inspirational. Something to think about, you know, and maybe take a look at yourself with, you know, that kind of thing. And it's just, that's what I feel like the world should come to, is somehow, I don't know how, but if they can just get money out of the equation and doing things out of love and because you want to, not because you feel forced to or have to or work many hours to kill yourself to get something. You know, I wish there was some way, somehow, where we can just end this violence and the stuff that's going on.
It's all about like politics and power and money. It's all about that nowadays, and I think it's ridiculous. They're not looking at it the way of helping people or uniting people. It's dividing people. And the reason that I got that movie, Gandhi, is I got a reading, and she saw my father on my left side, and she said, I see Gandhi. It's like they're connected. It's almost like they're one. And once I really got to know who Gandhi was, because I really didn't know anything about him, now I see my father through him. It's like, oh my gosh, they're so connected. I do believe that, you know, my father was all about love and acceptance, and it's never been about violence. And he has helped and healed so many people, and taking no money whatsoever. He had the power, you know, the gift from God to heal. And he used that not for his own benefit, but to help people. And he did that all the way to the end where he didn't feel good anymore. He didn't take care of himself, so it kind of brought him down. His whole, I mean, he was healing like, I don't even know, 15 people a day. It was, they came and gone. And even doctors and doctors were sending in patients too. And, you know, it was just incredible.
And I love that one story you told me. I love this character so much. Yeah, and Michael. I used to watch this show all the time. What is it?
Little House on the Prairie.
Oh, yes.
Michael Landon.
Michael Landon went
to go see. He called my father.
Wow.
And this was way before all this stuff, that he wasn't, you know, well known. Once he moved back to Hungary is when he was really known where he grew up. So people knew him a lot more, and that's why he had so many people that came to him. Word gets around. But before that, he was in the U.S., and that's when he got a phone call from Michael Landon. Now, there was a language barrier, and Michael Landon just didn't understand how to get through to my father, because my father couldn't understand exactly what he was trying to say, and, you know, the words weren't really coming out right. And then so he kind of like hung up, and, you know, but Michael Landon did, and my father was just like, that was Michael Landon. And at first, I don't even think he knew who it was until he looked it up. So to this day, I'm like, wow. You know, Michael Landon died shortly after that. You know, he was looking for a healer. You know, it's amazing.
That's incredible. And that's what I mean by taking, I wish we can just take money out of the mm-hmm. equation, because I'm not in this for the big bucks. You know, I've struggled my whole life, and I would like to be able to, and just like anybody else, you know, would love to be able to experience to do what they want to do, mm-hmm. you know, and not have to worry unless you're not, you know, mm-hmm. as long as you're not doing something bad or anything, you're not harming or hurting anybody else. I don't understand why people, we're not supposed to be stuck mm-hmm. in one area, I'm sorry, for the rest of our life. And that's it. We're born, we're going to stay in this town, and that's that. I feel like we're supposed to experience and adventure out and do things and try things, and that's where you gain knowledge and wisdom and experience.
Absolutely.
We seem to be having a little technical difficulties, but we're figuring this out, folks, so I appreciate you bearing with us. But yeah, I just wished that, you know, money was taken out of the equation.
Yeah.
Somehow, and like some form, like some kind of barter system or something, like if you want something, you have to work this many hours for, or something like that, but not
exchange or something. You know, that was back in the day, like a long time ago. That was kind of how it used to be. You know, I just think it's the minds of people. It's where they want to go. How do they get there? And that's what greed is. And
with all the chaos and drama and things that like that had, that's been in my life, majority of my life, I like to like form like kind of like my own like bubble, you know, and pretend I'm walking down the street with my guard down and I'm feeling great and I'm smiling and I'm happy and I don't care what people think of me and this and that. It's just peace. It's peaceful and it's comforting, and you just feel accepted and you can be who you want to be, and you know, you're not judged by it or whatever, and or mocked or made fun of, however, you can just be you. And all, and just because, you know, the show talks about psychic mediumship, that's what I happen to be, but this is to me like life, you know. And I feel like, again, for me, I've always had a hard time comprehending books and understanding them. That's why even my book, it's probably a second grader can write better than I can. I don't understand comprehending from a book. It doesn't resonate with me. For me, I need to actually see something done to be able to understand it, or do something so I can, you know, find out for myself, you know, whether
well, it goes back to your learning disability, where back in school you couldn't take the tests with everybody else.
And I'd always joke around saying, yeah, I would love to do something well for my life. You know, you show me and teach me how to be a vice president and a president, and I can do that. And then I'll try to figure out ways to do that, you know, kind of better or what makes sense for me. Mm-hmm. So I've always excelled like that. But for me, it's hard for where the situation I'm in now, because it's trying to find something that, you know, I can be shown or I can experience. Or
yes. Yeah, it's how you learn. It's how you learn. Basically, you can't go to college and excel at that because, you know, that's going to take you a lot longer. And unless they can help you with your testing and this and that and the way you learn, you know, you learn differently. That's
and
all.
And it brings up a good conversation because I remember having this with my first wife. And if for me, you know, this is my own personal way of thinking. You know, I felt that she only believed in, you know, intelligence, looks, and money. And it was all about those three things. And for me, it's not about going to school. You can be highly intelligent, and I've seen this, but lack common sense.
Mm-hmm.
Or vice versa. And I've this is where I'm going with this. I feel like everybody bounces out in one way or another.
Yeah.
That nobody's one smarter, you know, or it's just.
And sometimes you learn those things, so that's what you think that
and you want to be able to pass that on so you can teach exactly. others and help others out. You know, that's what it's mm-hmm. all about.
Yeah. And sometimes, you know, when you know that, hey, I've learned this way my whole life,
mm-hmm.
but it's not the right way. Sometimes, you know, it doesn't come to you until later in life.
Or some things may work better that way for that mm-hmm. person than somebody else. So it's all exactly. about figuring out what works best for you.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So, but I think that's...
This was a great conversation. I loved it. It was awesome.
It's more relaxed. It's not textbook. And I like being able to loosen up a little bit because I feel like Absolutely. We're too uptight when we've done the other ones.
That's why we need that little kitty.
Yeah. I can't Stella. Wait. Yeah.
We named her Stella because we've gone through so many names and we're writing down and going through Google and it's just like nothing was just like there. And then this just came out and I'm like, oh my gosh, you know, like you loved it. And I'm like, it's like a cute name. So it has nothing to do with the beer. It's just a name.
And see, we'll get into this a little bit later because, guys, I'm an alcoholic and addict, okay? So I went to rehab starting at the age of 16. I've been through this. We'll get into that another time. Stella, for me, I consider myself kind of like a dry drunk. I have that ability, but I choose not to, and I like to have control. So my mild beer that I can drink and tolerate, and that's only like one or two, maybe a year, folks, is Stella. To me, Stella is very mild.
Mm-hmm.
It's a German beer. It's to me, it's mild. It's like Budweiser, kind of. But Stella, I love that name. It's a beautiful name. And
I think it represents something for you, and that's why you probably love it so much.
The way I've come through mm-hmm. and from the experiences that I have
mm-hmm.
and, you know, being able to have control over my addictions yep. mm-hmm. and things. And knowing Stella is a very mild beer that mm-hmm. I only drink, folks, literally, seriously, maybe twice a year now, and maybe only two every time I drink. Because I've chose that. But we'll get into that later on. But yeah, so Stella is significant for me. It's not only a beautiful name, but it represents
mm-hmm.
where I've come from and where I'm at now as
and
far as that addiction.
Through things. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So. And it's such a cute name. This little kitty is going to heal our hearts,
that's for sure.
We're going to give her so much love.
Oh, absolutely.
I miss having a pet.
Fur baby.
I know. If it was up to you, you'd have all kinds of fur babies.
Oh, gosh, yes. Guys, you know, it's been my fantasy to own like a lot of land and have a black panther. I tried getting a black panther when I was 19 years old, and I didn't realize that you had to have like a, at that time, this is in New York, like a quarter mile of land with it all fenced in at certain height, and you had to have a permit and all this other stuff. Where I was actually looking into this. That would be my like ultimate like fantasy, to like have a black panther as a baby kitten, raising it and just Aww. Being awesome.
Well, as long as they're little babies, little cubs, you know, that's where the trust comes from and the love comes from. And, you know, same with children, you know, it's
But it's
like,
not just cats I love, folks. I
absolutely.
love birds. I love the only thing I don't really like
Raccoons.
for me personally is reptiles. I don't like them. But I love all sorts of fur babies, and they seem to be attracted to me, even like dragonflies and stuff like that. But I love birds and dogs and all sorts of animals. And your daughter's got beautiful chinchillas. They're so cute. And then, so yeah, I love fish too. If I could afford and have a nice salt fish tank and have either somebody take care of it or something, but to keep it clean and, I love animals. So.
They just bring happiness and love. Absolutely. So that's a great ending to our podcast here.
Absolutely. It was good.
And no, we're not going to have a snack now.
Yeah, not this one.
So, all right. So next time, we don't know what we're going to talk about yet, but we'll let you know. And well, this is our ending for today.
So have a great week to come, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right. Have a great Father's Day.
Happy Father's Day.
Bye-bye.
And that concludes today's segment on Spirit Talk. I'm Jay.
And I'm Sue.